The Bleed Smart Sportscast is brought to you by SunMaxBatteries.com, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMaxBatteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty, ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SunMaxBatteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMaxBatteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SunMax has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use coupon code BOSTON at checkout. That's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save 20% off your entire order. 20% off those already low prices. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save big today. SunMaxBatteries.com, CellMaxBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys.
All right, welcome into the fourth annual Guy Boston Sports Mock-Up Special. I think it's the fourth. Nathan, I don't know. Is it our fourth in a row?
Something like that.
It's something like four. I just guessed. But it's the fourth one. The first time we're doing it on a live stream. Usually we just do it on a podcast. This time we hopped on the live stream to get it done, have some fun, and you see we got the background. It's a little covered by us, but we got the background courtesy of Sean Palmer, and we got the mock draft board up right now. So we're just gonna hop into it. We're gonna go first round. We're gonna alternate picks, and we're gonna see what we end up with. And hopefully, hey, it's pretty close draft night. But maybe we'll even keep a tally and see how many we get right. But we'll get to that later. I know that we're probably gonna get at least one right. So I'm starting off. I'll start with number one pick. Nathan, you're going to go second, if I'm not mistaken, right? And Colin goes third, and we're just going to rotate in that order and just go from there. So we're just going to do it. So without further ado, 2021 NFL Mock Draft Guy Boston Sports Edition is underway, and I think you guys know who I'm going with this first overall pick. I'm going with I'm going with Trevor Lawrence. Not too surprising there. I mean, the only thing I'll say is I didn't love the Jaguars offseason. I thought they could have done more. I wish they did something more along the lines of what the Patriots did about bringing in a top tight end and another pass catcher. In the Patriots case, it was two tight ends. But, you know, Marvin Jones is okay. I would have liked to see them go after one of the bigger fish there, like Kenny Golladay or something like that. But ultimately, you know, I still think that their situation isn't terrible with Trevor Lawrence. I still like Meyer bringing the infrastructure there. So I think it's pretty easy. Trevor Lawrence, number one pick, and hopefully it works out.
Pretty straightforward there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Nathan, real quick. But I mean, what would you say if you had to put it against the quarterback prospects of the last, 20 years? Is it like even longer than that? He's like Elway, Manning, Lawrence. Like he's on that level, correct?
He could arguably be above them just in terms of physical traits that he has, with the fact that the guy's nearly perfect. Perfect hair, great athleticism, can run, got the arm, got the size, and. My God, it's touchdown Jesus. I mean, he's got the nickname for a reason. So you can't go wrong with this pick if you're Jacksonville.
All right, Nathan. Well, you're on the clock at number two. Go ahead.
All right. Not what I would do, but I know it's going to happen, and I'm coming around on this guy. We're going with the guy who looks like Brad from high school, Zach Wilson. It's basically set in stone. You know, Jets basically have been recruiting the family. It's going to happen. It's going to be Zach Wilson. And he gets my award for the most punchable face in this draft. I mean, just look at the kid.
Fair enough. Can you give us a comparison, Nathan, real quick, Zach Wilson? Like, what do you see when you watch Zach Wilson play?
You can see a bigger Russell Wilson, the way he can move around and just the arm talent that he's got. It's just – he's going to be fun to watch. They've added some weapons, obviously, in New York. Not a great team yet, but this is a good first step. And, it was the right move to move on from Sam Darnold and – this kid's got a lot of upside, and just he's going to have those Patrick Mahomes throws. Not going to put him in that category yet, but he can make those throws that people are going to say, wow.
And Colin, just because it's one of those polarizing players in the draft, I want to ask you, I mean, what do you think, Zach Wilson?
I like the player. I watched a few BYU games. I saw him come up a little short against Coastal Carolina. I won't blame that on him, though. He's really dynamic, the way he moves around the pocket. And I saw a little thing they were doing on SportsCenter where they talked about how he wanted to show off at his pro day those kind of unconventional throws that he can make. And those unconventional throws are becoming more and more popular in today's NFL. You like quarterbacks who actually, at the end of the day now, they take risks. They try to make – something out of nothing. Zach Wilson has those talents. We'll see how he translates to the NFL after the competition. I'm not saying BYU plays poor competition, but it's not an SEC or a Big Ten. So we'll see how he does. I personally would go with a different guy there, but I agree with Nason that that's what's going to happen.
All right. Well, hey, you'd say if you go with a different guy, you're up at three. Who are you taking? It's the Niners on the clock.
So this is a spot where it honestly blows my mind, all the media coverage and so much momentum for Mac Jones going third to San Francisco. And look, I like Mac Jones. KJ, we've had conversations. We talked in the podcast. I think Mac Jones is a good player. I don't think maybe he has the same upside as some of these other guys. But I can't just imagine that San Francisco, the way the board was falling, and I know it was early still, you know, almost a month before the draft when they made that trade to get up to three, but I can't imagine they were jumping everyone at that time with Mac Jones in mind, because Mac Jones wasn't going top five at that time. So I don't understand the dynamic of where the Mac Jones thing came from. And look, I get it. Shanahan, Saban, the conversations, it looks all fun. And it looks like it might make sense, but I got to take Justin Fields here. And I've heard Trey Lance. I'll hear all the options, but I like Justin Fields as the third quarterback off the board. I refuse to take anyone else in this spot. And you know what? Maybe I'll be wrong, because maybe the Niners are thinking what they're thinking, but I think if you trade it up to get a quarterback in this class at three, it's got to be Justin Fields, and that's the guy I would take at two if I was the Jets.
Oh, God bless. God bless you.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree with pretty much everything you said there. I do think that, you know, that honestly, like, Mac Jones wasn't that high. If they were really going up to get Mac Jones, you didn't need to go to three, and I feel like, you know, and then again, he is a Kyle Shanahan type of guy. I mean, look at the guys Kyle Shanahan's coached, right? It's been like Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he loves Kirk Cousins, so who knows? Yeah.
They fit a style, so I don't know if that's going to be the case. All right, I'm up before with the Falcons, and I mean, I'm open for business. If anyone wants to make an offer, hint, hint, who has a Patriots pick? But
That would be me, and I'm going to structure something. And I, you know, if this doesn't work out, I hope Belichick does on draft day.
I will say that you and I talked before the stream, and we talked about. I want to give a shout out to Bill Barnwell, because he made his column in ESPN. Everybody should go look at. He kind of theorized what every pick would look like if it was traded, and he had the Patriots trading up to four with the Falcons. So I'm going to offer the same thing to you, a little bit of an adjustment. But if you want four, I'll give it to you. I need your first this year. At 15, first next year, third this year at 96, and I'm going to need J.C. Jackson.
Honestly, for me, it's a no-brainer. And I don't know if the front office at you know, one Patriot place is going to agree with me, but it's an absolute no-brainer. KJ, I actually want to go with your theme that you've been hammering home for so long, is that you can't get quarterback, or I shouldn't say can't. It's very difficult to get quarterbacks outside the first round. If they wait and, you know, maybe even try to get up to 10, who knows? The run on quarterbacks could be crazy. You could be, you know, SOL, shit out of luck. So I think it's a no-brainer at this point. It's a little disappointing that Fields is off the board, but I think if you're the Patriots, you do it. You move up, and I don't know. Honestly, I'm torn on that, Mac Jones or Trey Lance, because, you know, I do buy in a little bit to the competition issues for Trey Lance. But
well, the projectables. Hey, I mean, considering where the board's at, do you want to do it? Do you still want to do it? Because it's funny to me. You kind of hurt yourself by taking Justin Fields at three. You might have been off to saying, all right, fine, Mac Jones. Yeah, give me Justin Fields.
Hey, I'm going objective here. I'm not trying to do the Patriots homer thing. Look, I still think, and it comes down to what happens in the building, but I think if you have the opportunity to do that, J.C. Jackson's going to get paid massive money next year. And that's another problem that, you know, you kind of get rid of one problem and solve another problem. Not that J.C. Jackson's a problem, having almost double-digit interceptions every season he plays, but he's a player I'd be willing to part with, and maybe then you look at keeping Gilmore. So, KJ, I'll say yes. I'll stop beating around the bush. I think that's a fair deal. And if you have the team that you hope to have, add the quarterback, hopefully successful, that first round pick next year ain't going to matter too much, because you're going to be competing for Super Bowls hopefully again. So I'm in.
I believe I can. Let's see. All right. Hold on. Do I have to pick the other team now? All right. Here we go.
Mason, I saw you like with your hands, like you were like playing that.
I want to make sure that you're going with one of the mobile guys.
Yeah, no.
if you do what the Niners, I think you're going to do, and trade up all that picks away, you know, all that capital for Mac Jones, I will punch you.
Look, so I was about to say, Trey Lance has the projectables and the measurables that you want, especially in today's NFL. And I just think if you're making that type of trade, you got to swing for the fences. Mac Jones is like, you know, hitting a nice gap shot. Like maybe he's going to be solid, but you got to swing for the fences. And I think they'll, if they go up to that pick and the way the board fell, yeah, maybe they would have liked Fields, but who knows what they like. They've been at both of their pro days. So I'll go Trey Lance at four to the Patriots, and I'll lock that in. Patriots get their quarterback of the future. Maybe they don't have as many draft picks as they usually do, but you know, Belichick will still maneuver what he has, and I think they'll have a good product on the field.
All right, there you go, Trey Lance. I mean, yeah, I like that pick too. I mean, again, I he has more upside than Jones did to me. So I don't know, Nathan, what do you think?
I love it. You know, I just think when it comes to the Mac Jones versus Trey Lance and Justin Fields debate, you know, and this is mainly for the 49ers at three. I look at it, Mac Jones is a great college player, has the potential to be a very good starting quarterback in the NFL. I like him a lot. I don't like him as much as these guys. But I look at Trey Lance and I look at Justin Fields, and they were great college players, and they have the potential to be great, you know, all-pro quarterbacks at the NFL level. And, you know, you don't win with very good quarterbacks. You win with guys who can make plays and can do things different. So why wouldn't you draft a guy who – Justin Fields and Trey Lance are both very accurate passers. They both have strong arms. So does Mac Jones. But guess what? They can run. So why wouldn't you just take the guy who can add more to your offense in either one of those two? And that's the argument against Mac Jones. Still a great player, but these guys can be better.
All right, guys. That's 4 for 4 on quarterbacks. So we're past most of the big quarterbacks. We'll speed it up here now. Nathan, you're on the clock at 5 with the Bengals.
All right, we're going to, you know, get this back to normal a little bit. We're going to go with the best pass catcher in this game, in this draft, and it's not Kyle Pitts. It's Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay. Ja'Marr Chase. Why? Why is Ja'Marr Chase better than Kyle Pitts?
Because Kyle Pitts, I look at him and, you know, you see the pass catching, you know, abilities of him. You see the speed. You see the matchup nightmares. I think he's going to be a very good player. But rookie tight ends can be a little bit of a – you know, it can be a guessing game sometimes. And while Kyle Pitts isn't really a tight end, I'm a little nervous about, you know, is he being a little too overhyped? Is he going to be able to play a little bit of inline? Is he going to be just outside? Either way, he's going to be good, I think. But Ja'Marr Chase is the best wide receiver possible to come out since Julio Jones. Like, I'm going to take the sure thing. Plus, if I'm the Bengals, hey, I know offensive line is a need. Guess what? If your quarterback's getting the ball out faster when these guys are open, that's also going to protect him. Number two, Joe Burrow played with Ja'Marr Chase. He's pushing for him, and he's a great talent. Why not make your guy happy? And this offensive line class is pretty deep, so you don't have to take one in round one at fifth overall, and, you know, that's it. You can take one in round two. They could easily come out later with, like, Sam Cosmi or Alex Leatherwood or something, and then you get a Ja'Marr Chase who could be an all-pro wide receiver. So I'm going to take the weapon here. I'm going to make my quarterback happy after I nearly killed him last year by letting him play behind that terrible offensive line, which they improved with Riley Reiff this year as well. So I think it's a match made in heaven. Honestly, I just want to see Ja'Marr Chase, you know, stay a Tiger.
All right, Colin, I'll give you a choice. I'll let you go right into your sixth pick, or you can comment on that selection right there and then take the half the time with your sixth pick. It's up to you.
Well, I guess my comment would just be that was my sixth pick if he was available. And I was thinking maybe Nason would go with Sewell there to shore up the line for Joe Burrow, but he mentioned they did do that a little bit this offseason. So I like that pick. I think he's, you know, obviously the Alabama guys got the hype because they're the ones who played, you know, on winning football team and went to the national championship in the spotlight. But Ja'Marr Chase can't be forgotten about just because he missed the season that he chose to miss. So at six, it puts me in a tough spot now because if you're the Dolphins, you talk about helping your quarterback like Nason just did with that pick. And now you can take Kyle Pitts. So I've seen Ja'Marr Chase in a lot of mocks to Miami. And my hesitation with that was, well, they signed Will Fuller and they have Devontae Parker. You know, it's not the best wide receiving core, but it's not like the biggest need on their football team right now. I think Kyle Pitts now falling. I'm really tempted to take Sewell, but I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts. I think it's just a good pick for Tua. I know you mentioned the rookie tight end problems, but if you can get that tight end developed and bring him along at the speed that people think Kyle Pitts can come along at, he's going to be the ultimate safety blanket for a young quarterback trying to find his way in this league, to have Kyle Pitts really just all over the field making plays, get the ball in his hands, and see what can happen. So while Sewell is tempting, I'm going Pitts at six to Miami, and I think that's an ideal scenario considering they moved down and still maybe got what some would deem the best pass catcher in the draft.
I like it. And you're adding that to Mike Gesicki. That's going to give you a hell of a tight end duo. And again, Kyle Pitts is barely a tight end. He's a pass catcher. He's just a weapon. But no, I think this will be a great move for Miami. And as a, you know, obviously as a Pats fan, it's not something you're looking forward to watching, you know, your linebackers have to cover your corner. You're probably going to have to put Kyle Duggar. I think he's probably going to have to be playing him a lot.
Yeah, and you're talking about the first two quarterbacks off the board, both getting pass catchers from last year's draft, now both getting pass catchers in this year's draft, but maybe not the best quarterback from that draft class, but we'll get to him later. All right, number seven, I'm up, Detroit Lions. Another possibility for a trade, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick at this pick from Detroit. And I'm just going to take the best corner on the board. I know they took one last year too, but I'm going to get him a running mate. I'm going to get Patrick Surtain in the second. And, you know, Detroit, you know, they brought in Dan Campbell, defensive-minded coach. I think they're going to want to continue to build up that defense there. Their offense, you know, it has a lot of work to do, for sure. But, you know, you're not going to rebuild that in one season. It's going to be tough to figure out. So, you know, to me, I think that the best course of action is just continue to build that defense. You know, I don't think Jared Goff's long for there, so I'm not too worried about getting him at any weapons right away, especially with the two best off the board already. So with that being the case, I'm just going to build the defense. And, you know, Jared Goff might not have a lot of fun next year in Detroit, but I don't think Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith were changing that too much. So I'm just going to take Surtain.
I like it. Definitely gives them a good duo going forward with him and Okuda.
All right. Awesome. Well, number eight, Nason, you're back on the clock.
They got Sam Darnold. They have weapons. They got DJ Moore, you know, Robbie Anderson, McCaffrey. Now you got to protect him. So Penei Sewell, this is an easy one. I know they tagged Taylor Morton this year. He's a good right tackle. Greg Little's playing left for them. But Sewell is too good to pass up here. And you've made an investment in Sam Darnold. And, you know, you can win with him probably in the next 2 years. So just protecting him is a key thing. And obviously, again, at eight, Sewell is an absolute steal. This guy could be, you know, one of the best tackles in the NFL. He's only 20 years old, which is astounding. Easy pick for Carolina here.
All right, Colin, you're up at nine with the Broncos, and the quarterback's still on the board. I don't know what you want to do.
Yep, no-brainer. I'm not going to hesitate. I don't know if it's the quarterback they wanted, but at this point, if you're Denver, beggars can't be choosers. My only worry is that maybe Mac Jones could be a little bit repetitive with what they already have in Drew Lock, at least as a young player before he, you know, comes into his own. But I think if you're Denver, you gotta take the one that's there. And I think it would have been a tough decision if Sewell had fallen that one more pick. And it's like, wow, you know, maybe we didn't come in thinking we were going to look at the offensive tackle position, but this guy's so dynamic, but he goes off the board. I think you go Mac Jones. You got the two pass catchers last year in Judy and KJ Hamler, and you already have other guys like Noah Fant and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't think you have to go. There are some great pass catchers left available, but I think you go with Mac Jones just because he's there. You didn't have to use any future draft capital. You didn't have to move up, and you got a guy who's being, you know, rated pretty high, and you see what you have in him, so.
Yeah, I like the pick, Colin, honestly. I mean, part of me does worry, really, that he's not that much different than Drew Lock. So that part, and that's what you said. I think you hit the nail on the head, that it's they're very similar, and they might have some of the same issues. But I don't think Drew Lock's the answer there, so you might as well move on. All right, 10, I'm up with the Dallas Cowboys. And for me, the Cowboys also could have used Surtain there, so I'm sure they're not happy to see him go. But I'll take the next best corner on the board, J.C. Horn. And I think that it's pretty obvious why the Cowboys are going to do this. They lost Byron Jones last offseason, never really replaced him. The defense struggled mightily. With Dak coming back, all around they struggled, but with Dak coming back, the offense should get a lot better. I know the reports are out there they would have loved Kyle Pitts. That wasn't going to happen, unfortunately. He wasn't going to fall that far. So I think building up the defense is your best course of action here at this point, and hoping that your offense can find their stride back from a few years ago again with Dak back. And Zeke and, you know, now CeeDee Lamb in the fold for a second year, not to mention all those other guys. So you got to hope that is able to get the offense back on track, and your defense, you can just build back up with talent, because they, you know, like I said, without Byron Jones, they were a lot worse. So hopefully that can get them going right on the right track again. All right, Nathan, you're up next with the Giants.
I like it. Man, we got to get you saying Surtain's name right, man. Get that A in there. All right, so Dave Gettleman obviously loves linebackers, and I really want to go with Micah Parsons here. I just feel like it's going to happen, but we're going to go with Jalen Waddle. They have invested in this offense. They got Kenny Golladay. Now, Daniel Jones, you've made an investment in him. You're clearly saying to your fans, this is our guy, you know, for this year, for, you know, planning on going forward. He's got all the weapons, but give him one more. Give him Jalen Waddle, who's just so explosive, going to be a monster out of the slot. Just get the ball in his hands. You can do a lot of different things with him. And also the bonus, too, he's a great punt returner. Like, that's just adding another thing to your team. This guy has Tyreek Hill potential, and I don't know how you pass on that when, you know, you're going to have to compete with high-powered offenses like the Cowboys. And, well, that's really it in that division. But still, you have to compete with them. So Jalen Waddle, easy pick here for the Giants. I don't think you let him buy. If Waddle's off the board, honestly, I could see Devontae Smith as well.
Yeah, and I will say, Nathan, I don't mean this to say anything about you, but it's just, I think over the – and I know you've noticed it – over the last few seasons, since the Chiefs have been on this run, doesn't seem like every year we have someone that people say, like, oh, that guy reminds me of Tyreek Hill, that guy reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. Like, every single season.
Closest one. Closest one. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, really, because Henry Ruggs last year, you know, he wasn't bad. He wasn't terrible, but, you know, he wasn't Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, we'll see how he progresses. But, you know, yeah, I mean, and hope, I think Waddle, you know, the Giants do need receivers, so I'm not going to bash that. But I think a lot of people are falling in love with that idea. And it's like, you got to be careful. Not everybody's, nobody's Patrick Mahomes type. We haven't seen any players like them. So, but I will say, Colin, you're up next with the Eagles. So go ahead and don't take my player.
So I don't know. I'm taking the other receiver because I probably was preferring Waddle a little bit here for the Eagles, but you want to talk about a team that needs a receiver. And it's kind of unfortunate, honestly, and I don't want to disrespect Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor actually showed flashes of being a solid, decent receiver when he came back last year, but they took him over Justin Jefferson. So
hey,
it's inexcusable.
Colin, don't bring up Reagor in front of Nason. Nason, I remember from last season, and his least favorite player in the draft, if I recall.
We're not my least favorite. Just I said it was the most idiotic move of the draft. But, I mean,
well, guess what? You were spot on, man, because it was the most idiotic move of the draft. And now they're in a position where even if Reagor ends up being decent, he's not the type of playmaking dynamic talent that team needs. And, you know, they could have had it last year, but they're going to go back to the well this year and they're going to take Devontae Smith. I don't see any other option here. You know, maybe people have talked about them looking at quarterbacks, but the way the board's fallen, that's an afterthought at this point. And I personally believe in Jalen Hurts more than, you know, I'd believe in not wasting another first round pick, but using another first round pick to get another quarterback who I don't think would be that much better than Jalen Hurts. So I like this pick for them. They were able to trade down and still get one of the big three receivers. So I think if you're an Eagles fan, you got to be happy about that result.
Definitely.
All right. Well, awesome. Thank you. You didn't take the player I was going to take. So pretty easy here. Herbert, you know, but I love to get him another weapon that's alongside Keenan Allen, sure, especially with Hunter Henry gone. But for now, I'll settle with protecting him and I'll keep him alive and I'll take Rashawn Slater. This isn't too hard. I mean, Herbert, you know, I think last season he took a lot of hits and he got in a little bit of trouble. And the people here be coming up to him saying, you got to be careful. You can't take this many hits. So protecting him is going to be huge. And I think this is an easy selection for them, Rashawn Slater. It's really a no-brainer at this spot.
I like it.
All right, Nason, you're up next, Minnesota.
All right, so Minnesota.
Alvin Cook right there.
I was going to say, I was complimenting the jersey earlier. I used to have an Adrian Peterson one, actually. But with them, I mean, I thought about offensive line here. I like Elijah Vera Tucker, and I'm sure we'll talk about him later. But edge rusher is something they need to address. Danielle Hunter's having contract issues, and that defense just didn't look, you know, like a Mike Zimmer defense last year. So I'm going to take my favorite pass rusher in this draft, and that's Jalen Phillips from Miami. He was the number one player coming out of high school a few years ago. UCLA had a lot of concussions. I think he got into a car accident as well, medically retired at one point. Came back, transferred to Miami, and just had a hell of a season last year. Had a hell of a pro day as well. you know, this guy is a technician, you know, not the level of like Nick Bosa, but kind of similar players, I find. And I think he's just going to be great at the NFL. You know, I can easily see him being, you know, at worst case, I think he's going to get you 7-8 sacks a year. And that's as just as his floor, just because he knows how to play the position. He's a great athlete. You know, he moves well for a guy his size. So just Vikings are going to get back to, you know, having a great defense. And the other great thing too is, you know, obviously, again, I thought about interior offensive line here. You know, edge rushers, that's one of the most expensive positions in the NFL. You got to consider getting your fifth-year option with your first-round pick. So another reason why, you know, it just makes sense here.
All right, perfect. Well, I'm up next at 15 with the Falcons after that trade, and I'm going to go edge as well. Nathan, I might need your help with Aziz's last name here if you can give it to
Ojulari.
Me. Ojulari. Aziz Ojulari. Yeah. This isn't too hard either. I mean, the Falcons desperately need edge. I think that's why a lot of people are suggesting they trade down, because there's no real top edge rushers at the top of this draft that would make sense at 4. So you trade down, you get Aziz there at 15. And look, that I mean, ever since the Vic Beasley experiment failed, they've needed another edge rusher to kind of take his place and then fill the role that he never did. So this is a pretty obvious pick to me, and you're going to hope that it works out. And look, Atlanta has gone back to the well here in the draft a few times on edge rusher, and it consistently stops working out. You know, you had Tack McKinley a few years ago, and, you know, we just mentioned Vic Beasley, but I think they're going to do it again this year because they really have to. I don't think they have a choice.
I can see it, especially if they trade down.
All right. Well, I think – is this Nathan, you're up again, right, at 16? Because
we got I think it's Colin.
It's Colin up because I'm trying to think.
I did my numbers wrong, so that's okay. All right, so the Cardinals are up. We got to
wait. Are you? Wait, no. Hold on.
No.
Stand by. I'm up at 16, aren't I? Yes, I'm up at 16.
It's you, KJ. Yeah.
I'm up at 16. sorry. Here we go.
Okay. I really got thrown off there.
So at 16. This is an interesting one. You know, I got Kyler Murray. You know, I want to protect him as well, but I don't know if they 100% need that as much here as they need some other things, especially, you know, especially in a 3-4. Imagine having Micah Parsons and Simmons. What's his first name? I can't forget it. I keep forgetting his first name. Isaiah Simmons. Having them running around together. That would be
insane.
That would be something. But I'm going to pass on it in favor of getting an offensive lineman for Kyler. They pass so much that it's with an offense like that, you're going to have Kyler running around. He can get himself out of trouble sometimes, but you got to keep him protected. So Darisaw, the best offensive lineman left on the board. Some might say, I know, Nathan, you might have wanted Vera Tucker there. That would have been another good pick, but I'll take Darisaw at 16. And Nathan, you're up at 17 now.
I like that pick. And Darisaw is a guy, I think he's rising, and I think he's going to be a solid tackle. The Vera Tucker, he comes into play just because of the versatility. You know, some people think he can play tackle, and, you know, others see him more because of he's got a little bit of shorter arms, you know, can see him more as an all-pro guard, kind of like Tristan Wirfs last year. But guess what? He worked out of tackle pretty damn well. But 17, this is the easiest pick for me. Micah Parsons. Can't let him slide anymore. You know, the Raiders have a need at linebacker. They need to improve that defense. And honestly, Mike Mayock and John Gruden just love guys from big programs. So Penn State, linebacker, I mean, the guy absolutely killed his pro day. I know the times this year are kind of, you know, fake essentially. But, man, this dude is a freak, and he can do basically anything from the linebacker spot. He can cover. He can rush the passer. He can stuff the run. I mean, this guy is just going to be a hell of a player in the NFL. And, you know, I'd be surprised if he slid this far. The one thing that comes up, you know, is character concerns sometimes. Some incidents in high school, some allegations in college. I mean, nothing's been proven, but, you know, that's something teams are definitely going to look into.
All right, Colin, you're finally back on the board, Colin. You're finally back on the board at 18 with Miami. What are you thinking? What are you thinking with the board, Lana, how it is? I mean, you've been away for a few picks, so maybe someone you really like has fallen further than you thought they were.
So for Miami, I was looking to go defense here from the jump after getting Kyle Pitts with that first pick. And, you know, Micah Parsons, I think if this board plays out like it does in Miami, having the draft capital that everyone knows they have, they could maybe make a move up a couple picks and go get Micah Parsons. But, you know, for the sake of this mock draft, they're on the board at 18. I'm going to take a guy that I absolutely love. from my home state of Rhode Island, from Providence, Rhode Island, Bishop Hendrickson High School, and now the way of University of Michigan. I'm going to take Quiddy Pay off the edge for the Miami Dolphins. I love this player. I'm a little biased, as KJ knows. We share our Michigan fanhood, which has been pretty painful over the past few years. But Quiddy Pay has been a bright spot. Guy has an unbelievable motor. He's not your typical pass rusher in size and stature. He's more lanky and athletic and kind of makes plays that, you know, look effortless just solely based on his athleticism and his ability to get to the passer. So maybe I've seen him in this range, maybe a little early, but it's a player I absolutely love. They lost Shaq Lawson and Kyle Van Noy, both by their, you know, their own choosing, because neither of those guys really worked out. But they have a need at getting to the quarterback, and I think Quiddy Pay can help fill that need.
Awesome. Well, I'm back up with the Washington Professional Football Team at 19, and I'm going to take a guy we already talked about a little bit, Elijah Vera Tucker. I think it's pretty easy. Washington really desperately needs offensive linemen. I think that you talk about that as one of their top needs. I'd like another pass catcher too for them, but none of the great ones are left on the board. So I think Vera Tucker is a pretty simple pick here. It's a little more traditional than you see usually see Washington go, especially with their owners. You know, Dan Snyder, everybody knows, loves the big flashy moves at times. But, you know, hopefully Ron Rivera can calm things down, get everybody to take an offensive lineman to shore up the offense for the team, because they could really use one. I think Vera Tucker, for all the reasons Nason said earlier, would really help them. So, Nason, at 20, you're up with the Bears.
All right, so there's no quarterbacks on the board, no wide receiver that I think is worth taking a pick right here. So we're going to address cornerback. Jalen Johnson, they drafted last year, did a great job. I thought about Caleb Farley, but the back surgery he just had scares me. I was actually listening to somewhere where they said it's the same one that Tony Romo had. And, well, Tony Romo had to retire basically after that. And, you know, cornerback's a lot higher impact position than quarterback is. So I'm scared. I think he's going to drop down the boards. Maybe not out of the first, but I can see it happening. So we're going to go with the next best guy, and that's Greg Newsome, the second from Northwestern. You don't often hear two Northwestern players going in the first round, but Greg Newsome's great. Really, you know, as an Ohio State fan, watching them play Northwestern this year, it was not fun. You know, could not throw at him. And he's kind of a do-it-all, great athlete corner. And, you know, Chicago, you know, you could trade up, you could trade down, you can do a lot of things with this pick. But at the end of the day, for, you know, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, you got to take the best available player at a premium position. So Greg Newsome is the pick here.
All right, Colin, 21, Colts.
So for the Colts here, I'm looking offensive line. They addressed the quarterback position with Carson Wentz, and the defense was pretty solid last year, able to bring back T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman developing. They got some good players on the offense there. No one stands out to me on the board right now to go after. So I'm going offensive line, and I'm going to go Tevin Jenkins. Nason, you'll have to help me with that one.
Pretty sure it's Tevin. What I
do know is he's 6'6". He's an absolute monster of a human being. He's an offensive tackle who played well for the Cowboys. And look, you have Quentin Nelson at the guard position, and you're trying to continue to build that offensive line. And we've seen if Carson Wentz is going to succeed, guys, he's going to have to be protected, A, just so he can stay healthy, but B, so he's not making those boneheaded decisions when he's under pressure and turning the ball over. So if the Carson Wentz experiment in Indianapolis is going to work out, they're going to have to protect him. They, I think, learned their lesson as an organization when Andrew Luck walked away from the game because they didn't protect him for years. So I think they'll be a little bit more proactive on the offensive line here. I think Jenkins is the best guy available after you guys took Darisaw and Barrett Tuck off the board. I'm going Jenkins.
I like that. And, you know, he's a guy who's been mainly a right tackle his career, but I was listening to him talk, you know, in an interview, and he's working out at left tackle. I mean, the guy's trying to be versatile, and, you know, the Colts offensive line, I mean, you can do a lot of things there. They have Braden Smith at right tackle. You could put Tevin Jenkins at left, and, man, that offense is going to go. Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, all Marlon Mack's back too. Like, they're going to have a lot of guys to run behind, some really just big studs up front.
All right, well, I'm up with the Titans, and the way the board's fallen, you know, I could go with Caleb Farley here. The Titans are a pretty balanced team. They don't need a lot, but they had one big loss this offseason, so I think you guys know where I'm going with this. I'm going to take Pratt Freiermuth, and I think that, you know, this is the range I can see him going in. I would actually like him with either of my next two picks, whether it was Jacksonville or Tennessee. But I think it's pretty easy. They lost Jonnu Smith, and that was a big part of their team. Freiermuth is a much different player than Jonnu Smith, you know, bigger and stronger than Jonnu. Well, he was just a more of a fast, you know, hybrid tight end. But, you know, they need someone to replace that position anyway. He's got potential as a blocker, so he can help Derrick Henry more so than maybe Smith did at times in the run game as well. And that's obviously the you know, the engine that makes their offense go. You know, they're set at receiver, so they don't need to worry about that. But tight end could use a new guy in that spot. Obviously, they had Delaney Walker for years. Jonnu Smith, they've been blessed with good tight ends in Tennessee. So I think this is a logical pick for them at 22.
I like it. And Freiermuth, he's a hell of a red zone target. And, you know, I know you mentioned it too with your next pick as well. I heard what I'm hearing is Jacksonville really loves him. And he's a guy they're going to target at either 25 or I think pick 30. I think 33 for them. He's going to be one of their main targets. So, just a pick that people can almost pencil in.
All right, awesome. Well, Nathan, you're up again with the New York Jets, 23.
All right, so we got our quarterback in Zach Wilson. I have a couple, or I have Jets friends who I'm going to try to make happy today. I thought about Caleb Farley here again. You know, I've had a couple cornerback needy teams the last couple picks, and again, the back surgery just scares me. So, you know, we're going to target wide receiver. Give Zach Wilson some weapons. And I'm not going to go with who I think a lot of draft boards have ahead. I'm going to go with Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. I just love this dude out of the slot. He had a hell of a pro day, just uber productive in the SEC. I know Kadarius Toney, you can say the same thing. I know I see him scrolling right here. Got to find Elijah Moore.
Down 54 is where they had him ranked, but
I like him, and I think he's been shooting, you know, ever since his workout. You know, I see this guy just shooting up draft boards, and yeah, I think it's just a perfect fit for the offense. You have, you know, some guys like Mims that you drafted last year who's more that boundary wide receiver. Get Zach Wilson, a slot guy who has just incredibly fast feet, and, you know, someone he can just get the ball to. I know running back is something that they'll target soon, but, you know, just continue to add more weapons to him, and you can add to the offensive line later. I mean, they have a lot of needs. That's just a fact. I'm just going to take a guy who, you know, can team up with my quarterback, essentially.
All right. Awesome. Great pick. Well, Colin, Pittsburgh at 24. What are you thinking you're going to do?
So, honestly, I thought Nason might do it. I also have a lot of friends who are Jets fans, and they are big on getting the running back there. They think, you know, it's a good way to help out the young quarterback, this, that, and the other thing. I'm going to help out an old quarterback, and I'm going to pick a running back because the Pittsburgh Steelers offense was so flat down the stretch of last season. I know, you know, do you want to go running back in the first round? Maybe not necessarily, but right here I had some O-linemen in mind, and the O-linemen are off the board. So I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the board the way it played out, and could I take another linebacker? Yeah. But I'm going to go running back. I'm going to take Najee Harris. I think it'll add a dynamic to their offense. Is it a little bit early? Maybe, but time's ticking, you know, like if they're going to go for it with Ben Roethlisberger and, you know, now their contingency plan is one Dwayne Haskins, or, you know, we'll see what happens in the draft, but I mean, they got to go for it. The time is now for the Steelers. It felt like they were having their year last year, and then they got so stagnant on offense where they're running the same 4-yard out routes to Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool. And they just were so flat. They had nothing, and it didn't help that James Conner could barely stay healthy, and, you know, Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland weren't really moving the meter too much. So teams are just dropping into coverage against the Steelers and totally dominating them. Roethlisberger had nowhere to go with the ball, or he was just getting hit. So you look at, you know, a team like that, do they have some other holes that they could maybe fill? Yeah, like I said, O-line, but I'm not reaching for an O-lineman now that the guys that I was looking at are gone. I'm taking Najee Harris and hoping that we can make a push for the thing.
All right, awesome. Well, I'm up at 25, and I'll tell you what, I'm tempted to go with Browning. With Browning or Davis, I think mostly Browning because of the Ohio State connection with Urban Meyer. I think he'd love to make a connection like that. But ultimately, with Miles Jack in the fold, I don't think they need another inside linebacker. So I'm going to go with Osai here, the best edge on the board. You know, another situation where, that, you know, you remember Saxonville Wasn't too long ago, but it feels like forever ago. They've lost a lot up front. Not exactly the same position, but Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue is gone now as well. So they're not the same team they used to be up front. So they got to start to rebuild that. And I know Vermeer would like to do so as well. So Cy, the first piece of that, you know, I think they would love to go a line two just to get Trevor Lawrence a little more protection. And I could see them doing that here too. But I'm just going to go ahead and pick Osai. I think that makes the most sense for their team and their defense, and that could really need it. And hopefully you can address O-line later in the draft. They got another pick coming up, so maybe they can wait. And there's plenty of offensive linemen still on the board here in this range. So I think there's at least a couple here. So I think they can just hope that one of those guys falls to them with their next pick. But I think Osai is the guy you want to take here. All right, Mason, Cleveland.
All righty. So I've been thinking about this one for a while because Cleveland's got a really talented team. I've considered edge rusher here. I know they just signed Clowney, but it is a one-year deal. But Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is still on the board, so I'm going to grab him, kind of like with my Raiders pick. Like, he's just too good to fall. This guy, is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? I don't really give a shit, to be honest. A great football player. Hell of a job in the ACC last year. Really led Notre Dame to the playoff. And, you know, you're in a division with Lamar Jackson, you know, the Ravens, you know, even though he had a tough year as a passer, he's still going to be able to run for a couple of years. And you want to add a linebacker / safety who can run with him. And he's just a great athlete. Could he add some weight? Sure. I don't really, you know, I'm not, like I said, I don't care about that part. I just want a great athlete who can stretch, you know, place, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Sideline to sideline. Just a great leader out there. And, you know, just continuing to add to that defense in Cleveland. The offense has a ton of pieces. You know, wide receiver is something they could look at here because who knows with OBJ, and they could just take a luxury pick. But just continue to add pieces to the defense. And, you know, obviously you got some great offenses in the AFC North, and the Bengals are up and coming. Now they're going to get Jamar Chase. Like, you got to just continue to add to this thing.
All right. Makes sense. Colin, you got two picks left. First one's the Ravens. What are you thinking for this pick?
So I'm tempted to go Jamin Davis with a linebacker from Kentucky here because I want to find them a Judon replacement. We know Judon's coming to New England, and we're all pretty excited about that. But I look at the Ravens last year, and maybe this is just my personality. Look back at a lot of my picks have been on offense, but I keep looking at teams that their shortcomings last year and why they didn't make it was offense. Like the Ravens, were they the best defensive team in football? Not necessarily, but their defense had them in games almost all the time. And it was the fact that the offense couldn't come up and have that big drive for the most part. And, you know, they blame Lamar as a passer and they say, oh, once you make him have to throw, he's in trouble. So if he's going to have to throw, I'm going to get him somebody else to throw to. Obviously he relies heavily on Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown as his best receiving option. I'm going to take Rashad Bateman. Look, Rashad Bateman's a guy who was listed at 6'2", and he's actually probably barely 6 feet. So he's a little bit smaller than I think people initially had the impression when he was in college. That doesn't scare me. I know Marquise Brown, same thing a little bit, but it doesn't scare me. You're just trying to build an offense with as many athletic freaks as you can. And, you know, now they have Dobbins in the run game. They're moving on from Ingram to a younger, more dynamic player there. You had Marquise Brown. I mean, you add this to Marquise Brown, I think you have a pretty good combination. I don't know, Nason, I saw you nodding your head. I'm a Big Ten football fan, so I'm always watching Big Ten football, and this guy just continued to impress me every time he played. The ability to make contested catches, get himself open, yards after the catch, literally everything. The guy checks every box, and obviously he falls a little bit behind those big three receivers and maybe Elijah Moore in your mind, but I think he's the best option here.
I agree, and like I said, I mean, he's – going to be probably, you know, I got to look back at my ranks. He'll probably end up being wide receiver 4 for me. Elijah Moore, I took ahead of him mainly for scheme fit, but Rashad Bateman, he had a bad year last year. They put him in the slot. He was dealing, you know, he opted out originally. You know, I think he has asthma. So, you know, he decided to come back and it was just not a good idea to play him in the slot. But outside in 2019, the dude dominated. He can run routes, you know, he can break away from guys very well. He showed pretty good speed. His size is a weird thing because Minnesota had him listed at like 210, and he says he's never played at above 200 pounds. So believe what you can, but you know, whether he's 6'1", 190 or 6'2", 210, I mean, this dude can play. And, you know, I remember early season, he was getting compared to Michael Thomas. If he falls to the second round, because wide receivers might fall in this class because it's another loaded one, I could see it, and he's going to be a steal for somebody. But he fits what Lamar Jackson needs right now, kind of a bigger outside guy. You know, a guy like him or Terrace Marshall right here, you know, would fit perfectly and really help his development.
All right, so this is going to annoy Colin, but now I'm torn. You know, it's tough because I really want to go with I really want to go with Bearmore, and I think it makes sense with the fact that they just released Malcolm Brown. So I think it makes a lot of sense to go do a Bearmore here for them. But I'm not going to. I still think, you know, whoever's going to be the quarterback of that offense is going to need a lot of help, whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston or whoever. And, you know, I look at the board and, you know, they're receiving outside of Michael Thomas. It just hasn't been good enough. And now Emmanuel Sanders is gone too. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Terrence Marshall Jr. from LSU. And the reason I'm going to do that, I think he complements Michael Thomas pretty well. He reminds me a little bit, just a little bit, of Marquise Colston, who was with the Saints for a long time and a good receiver for them there. So I think he can fit in pretty well in New Orleans and, again, help whoever is going to be the quarterback there next season. You know, I don't know what their team's going to look like without Drew Brees. It's going to be crazy to see the Saints playing without Brees. I know we got a little bit of a glimpse of it last season, but, you know, pretty much since 2007, 2008, it's been Brees has been a staple there. So it's going to be a totally new look Saints team. And, you know, hopefully that offense can stay at a high level with everybody they're going to have there. So I'm going to go Marshall Jr.
I like it there.
All right, Nathan, 29, Green Bay.
I like it. So I thought about Barmore here too, to be honest. I've seen Green Bay's defensive line. It's not very deep. Kenny Clark's great, but outside of that, they've kind of struggled. But Caleb Farley's still on the board. And at 29, even if his back is just so messed up, you know what? Who cares? You wasted the 29th pick. I'm going to take Farley. Kevin King got destroyed in the playoffs last year. They need a guy, you know, opposite of Jair Alexander. And, you know, honestly, with the reason Farley is here is because of his medicals. I mean, this guy might be the most talented cornerback in this draft. He's got freakish athleticism, great ball skills. He's a former wide receiver and quarterback. So the dude just knows when to look for the ball. Dominated Virginia Tech in 2019. I think I was reading something where it was his first game playing corner. He had two picks. Like, that's insanity. This dude is, you know, you're taking a little bit of a risk here. Is the back going to hold up? But, you know, if it does, you have I have no doubt this will be the best cornerback tandem in the NFL for years to come with Farley and Jair Alexander. So you're taking a little bit of risk, but why not? Worst case, they're still going to be a team that can win games.
All right, Colin, we made perfect timing, it looks like. You can head out right after this pick. Yeah, I know Colin's got to run before 6, but you're up at 30 with the Buffalo Bills, and then we'll say goodbye to you for these last two picks.
Give my boy Josh Allen something good. I love him.
So what a fitting way to go out, because, you know, in typical mock draft fashion, I have three players here who I absolutely love for the Bills, and I'm struggling to pick between one. So I'm going to tell you all three of them, and then I'm going to kind of talk myself into one of them as we go. I think Barrymore is an obvious option because he's fallen down the board this far. He's another big dynamic defensive lineman that could, you know, further bring that tough guy identity to the Buffalo Bills. And that's really where they've thrived. And then I'm also tempted by Travis Etienne. It's just, look, I know they won't do it probably, but Zach Moss and Devin Singletary were so underwhelming to me. And it felt like if that team had a dynamic running back to go along with the option that Allen can run on you, throw it 50 yards over your head, like, just adding that element, I think, would be so essential for them. And then I really like Zaven Collins. This is the Bronco Nagurski Trophy winner out of Tulsa, kind of a guy who's flew under the radar, but he's like, you know, one of these versatile linebackers that these NFL teams love so much. And I see him being a Bills type player. But I'm going to settle on Barrymore just because he fell this far. I don't think you can let him fall any further, but I think those other two names could be in play for the Bills, and whether they are actually in play or not, I think they should be in play for the Bills.
All right, Colin. Well, thank you. I don't worry. You didn't take my pick. I couldn't have taken Barrymore with 31 with Clark still there. So I don't think that would have made any sense. Nathan, I'm going to take a nod to you here. The Chiefs, look, they desperately need offensive linemen. So I'm going to take Liam Eichenberg, a guy I know you like, offensive tackle for Kansas City. And, you know, they got absolutely destroyed in the Super Bowl by the Buccaneers pass rush. So they need to shore that up. They really haven't done much to do that this offseason. Mike Remmers is still listed as one of their top tackles on the depth chart. So they need to rectify that. You know, Andy Reid usually likes the flashy moves. You know, if Bateman was still there, it would have been hard to lay off. But I think going offensive line here is the right move for Kansas City. And you can't go wrong with any of the guys really on the board. But, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes, as much as he helps his receivers, he's also going to help his offensive line with how good he is. So you hope that Eichenberg is someone that he can kind of, you know, aid and bring along and be someone that can protect him a little bit here moving forward so that we don't see him taking as many hits as he took in the Super Bowl last year.
Gentlemen, if I may, I was just going to say, if I may, I got to run. It's been a pleasure coming on with you boys. Always love doing this. So thanks everyone who tuned in. Thanks for having me, KJ. And we'll have more stuff content after the draft. Have a good one.
Pleasure. All right. So Nason, you're going to say about the pick. Do you have any thoughts there?
I was going to say you're taking a Notre Dame offensive lineman. So you're going to get at worst case, a solid starter who you can play for 10 to 12 years. I mean, just they know how to produce offensive linemen. The coaching's great. You've seen it with Zach Martin, you know, Quentin Nelson, Mike McGlinchey over in San Fran. I mean, you can't go wrong. Eichenberg, you know, the only question I think with him is just position because he's not the biggest. You know, he played tackle. He's got a bit of short arm. So, you know, is he going to be a tackle in the NFL? Is he going to be a guard? You know, either way, he's going to play. He's going to start games. And I'm sure, you know, I have no doubt he's going to be a solid NFL player at the worst.
All right. Awesome. Well, you're going to wrap it up. Speaking of Tampa Bay and their pass rush. You're up at 32. So how do you want to close out the first round?
Man, I kind of want to have a little fun here. Because
right, hold on, wait, before you say that, let me just find Kellen Mond. Continue.
No, Oh my god. I'm gonna say this right now. Not that I'm taking him, but if I'm gonna take a quarterback here, I'm taking Davis Mills, the Stanford quarterback. Kid was the number one high school quarterback when Tua was coming out. Like, this kid has uber talent. He only played, I think, 11 or 13 games at Stanford between injuries and COVID and all sorts of stuff. But I'm not going to take him here.
I will say, feel free here. I mean, you said you want to have a little fun. Yeah. Feel free to go way off the board. I don't care. Make it scroll all the way down here, okay? I'll do it. I don't mind.
Not that far, but – you know, a guy who I'm kind of, you know, part of me is surprised he's still here. Part of me isn't. But I'll say what I was thinking. So I've thought about edge rushers. You know, one guy I've really been looking at is Jason Owe, who did not have a sack last year at Penn State. But this guy ran, and I was listening to a PFF podcast, and I think they described it as one of the greatest edge rusher pro days they've ever seen. Sub 4.440, just unbelievable quickness, but he didn't have a sack last year. And that kind of concerns me a little bit. Thought about defensive line. Maybe if a guy like Barmore fell here, you know, and Dominican Sue's old, maybe one of my favorite guys in this draft, Levi Onwuzurike from Washington. And Washington just produces great defensive players. But consider this. Antonio Brown has not re-signed yet. I'm going to go with another offensive weapon for a team that they're, you know, Tom Brady's old. They're just trying to win Super Bowls. They don't care. I don't think you have to care about the future. So I'm going to go with Kadarius Toney. He's still here, and I'm just going to give this team another weapon. You know, maybe you don't want to sign Brown. Maybe Bruce Arians doesn't want that headache this year. I know he seemed fine when, you know, he was playing there last year, but dude's still a head case, and who knows? I think he's going to end up in Baltimore. But Kadarius Toney is just kind of that switchblade, kind of almost that Alvin Kamara type of player, even though he's a wide receiver. Just get the ball in his hands, and he's going to be able to do a ton of stuff underneath while you still have, you know, who's going to be a healthy Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, who might be the best wide receiver tandem in the NFL. Who knows? You know, that's up for debate. But, you know, just continue to add to this offense. I know offensive tackle is something they've also looked at. People have been saying Donovan Smith is old. Guess what? He's still good enough, and you have Tristan Wirfs. Just continue to give Brady guys who he can get the ball out to and who can make plays in the open field. So do I see Tony falling? Maybe. Who knows? I mean, the thing is, we had how many wide receivers go? I think we had
5 or 6.
Did we have 6 or 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, I think we had
4. Bateman, Marshall. Yeah. You know, some of these guys I think could fall the second round because just the value of the position. You know, it is deep class. You have guys like, you know, Tylon Wallace and Rondale Moore and Amon-Ra St. Brown, best name in the draft, who you can get on day 2. So you might not take these guys in the first round, but all these guys are just hell of players. And, man, just Tony in that offense would be just – it would be unfair, I think. So just a hell of a way for Tampa to close out the first round here.
All right, awesome. Well, yeah, nice. Great, great job, Jay. Thank you so much. I will ask you before we go, and ask you a couple of things. First off, I want you to give me your favorite pick that you made, your favorite pick that you didn't make, and your least favorite pick.
I have to say, for me, it was Micah Parsons at 17 to the Raiders. I mean, that's just value. That's just – he was there, and, man, you cannot let him pass – you can't pass him up. Favorite pick that I didn't make was Justin Fields to the San Francisco 49ers. And, again, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. When you trade that much value – to move up 9 spots in the NFL draft. I mean, A, for God's sake, you better know who you're taking. And if they're taking Mac Jones, I just don't understand why you would give up that much for a quarterback that, let's face it, Kyle Shanahan has been successful with Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, and he hasn't won Super Bowls with them. Why wouldn't you change it up? You can bring in a guy like Justin Fields or Trey Lance, a mobile guy who, let's remember, Kyle Shanahan made – Robert Griffin III, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, his knee got destroyed. Who knows what RG3 could have been if he had stayed healthy. I don't understand it. If you're going to swing for the fences, take a guy who has the upside. Mac Jones is the highest floor, possibly, aside for Trevor Lawrence in this draft, but he's got by far the lowest ceiling of any of the 5 quarterbacks, in my opinion.
All right. Well, Nathan, I'm gonna ask you to give me one more. Give me one more pick that you like that you didn't make.
That I did not make. Let's see.
I'll scroll through here so you can take a quick look at any of these. Pick one of the ones that you like.
The obvious one, Rashawn Slater to LA is a great one. Let's see. Let's keep going here. I love Elijah Vera Tucker. Man, there's a few. You know what? I'm going to probably go with Bateman to the Ravens. And again, you know, kind of what I discussed earlier, it's a perfect scheme fit for Baltimore. And Bateman's a guy who, again, he's coming off a tough year where they played him out of position. He's not a slot receiver. He's an outside guy who can run routes. And, you know, I compare him to a lesser Michael Thomas, not a poor man's Michael Thomas, but maybe a, you know, blue collar, makes a good living man's Michael Thomas. And it's just, he's a guy who's going to make any quarterback's life a lot easier. The dude knows how to get open. It's not the unbelievable 40 time. It's not the unbelievable athletic ability. It's just, this dude knows how to run routes. You know, Devontae Smith might be the best route runner in this class. Bateman is right behind him. And, you know, he has the size. Bateman isn't that 166-pound guy, and don't get me started on that. But I think that's just going to make the Ravens, who cannot seem to attract wide receivers in free agency, just to, you know, that's going to put them in contention, I think.
All right, one more. Least favorite pick, if you had one.
Least favorite pick. I got to think about that one. Let's see. I will say, and I get why you made it, I'm going to go with Surtain at 7. Mm-hmm. And only because I think you can get better value here. I'd rather get a guy – if you're going to stick at 7, I'd rather get one of the wide receivers, you know, Smith, Waddle, obviously Pitts and Chase are off the board. I'd rather get one of them or maybe a Parsons. You know, if you're the Lions, I think you just got to swing for the fences and you got to get explosive talent that you can – you know, build around. obviously they don't have any wide receivers on the team. You know, they have Tyrell Williams, I think. Quintez Cephas is – I like him.
He's from not a wide receiver, but they still have Hockenson too.
They do. They do. But I think you got to just add, you know, as much star power as you can. You know, Dan Campbell's got a decent long contract. I want to say he signed for like maybe 6 years. You know, he's going to be able to build, give Jared Goff a few weapons. Maybe you can still get something out of him. You know, with Surtain, I like him, and I think he's going to land in probably Dallas at 10. You know, the thing with him is I think his ceiling isn't going to be like the top cornerback in the NFL. I don't think any of these guys, except for maybe Caleb Farley, have that potential. But Surtain is just like, you're going to plug him in, he's going to be good. He's just going to be good for – you know, the next 7-8 years. But I don't think if you're Detroit at 7, you know, that's what you need to prioritize, especially after you did invest a third pick in Okuda, who obviously disappointed, but you got to, you know, you got to hope that he's going to bounce back. Honestly, if I'm Detroit, I trade that pick. I trade down. I see if a team is willing to come up. You know, Washington and Chicago, obviously we had New England trade up to 4 in this draft. So that eliminates a lot of teams that are looking to move up, but Detroit, you know, maybe Denver needs to move up, you know, because Trey Lance falls. And then, you know, 19 and 20 right here, Washington and Chicago, they both need quarterbacks. Washington a little less desperately. They have Fitz. But, you know, for my draft day prediction, Chicago is going to try at least to make a move into the top 10, I think, because Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are literally – they're – drafting for their jobs right now. They are getting fired if they do not do something to show management we are either going to win this year or we are going to compete. And so far they've brought in Andy Dalton. Yeah. So you have to do something.
Yeah. All right, Nathan. Well, how do you think it went all around? What do you think of the entire mock?
You know what? I got to say, this is my favorite one yet that we've done. You know, just – I love the live aspect of it, you know, having the draft board in front. I know we've recorded in the past, and I think 1 year I messed up my picks and almost picked the person again. So this was my favorite one that we've done, man. It's always a pleasure.
A little easier, too, with the names on the side and everything. You don't have to pay attention to everything. You can just look back. Oh, who's that pick? Oh, it's on the board right there. But, yeah, Nathan, again, thank you for coming. Thank you, Colin, for coming on the show as well. Appreciate it. I haven't shown this off yet. I feel like I need to show this off. Do you know what's on this tie?
I do not.
All right. I my dad sent this to me a little bit. I'll get it closer to the camera there a little bit. Here, let me put this down so I can don't drop everything like I did on the previous live stream, if anybody saw. But I got a little bit of a gridiron tie. A little bit of I got the pro football thing for it. Yeah, you know what's funny is my dad sent me these photos of a bunch of ties, and he didn't really tell me. He didn't show me this one at all. But he just sent it to me, and I was like, when am I gonna wear this like professionally? But now is the perfect time, so I had to break down for this one, you know. So I figured it fit in perfectly, but a nice one. I liked it. But again, guys, thank you everybody for tuning in. If you're watching live, if you're watching on the recording, really appreciate it. Go subscribe to the Guy Bonds Sports YouTube channel. A giveaway coming. I don't know if I've announced it. Nathan, I don't know if I've announced this. I keep teasing it. Like I was going to get really, really mad at me if I keep teasing this and he's saying, hold on. I need to set this all up yet. But there is something coming. I'm trying to think. I gave a hint last time. What else can I hint at? I can't really say what it's going to be. You know, I can't really, you know, say what type of thing it's going to be, what type of item.